I'll get used to this one. They want me to switch to this other lapel mic. It'll take me a little bit, but I'm a creature of habit. My wife, everybody else who... Anyway, creature of habit. Like the things to say the same. And it takes me a little while. So that's why we have the same, basically the same prelude service. Because I like it that way. We don't want the Holy Spirit getting in this. I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. I'm not being blasphemous. I'm not kidding. I'm kidding. All right. And appreciate that, Brother Hudson, very much. Sometimes, you know, the preacher gets the flack from implementing rules and putting things in place. And why do we have to do this? And why do we have to do that? And it's just so important, the things that we say to you, and especially dealing with children and all of these things in our church. And though we can't stop, as Brother Hudson said, we can't stop somebody from suing us or whatever the case is. We can certainly put ourselves in a position to be able to defend ourselves. And that's the key. So that we, when we do go to court, we have documentation. Here's what we've taught. Here's what we've done. And here's the things we put in to prevent other issues. This is one of the reasons why I haven't said this in a while, that there's glass in every one of these doors. You know, we try to make it very hard for someone to take a child or take anyone and get them in a place in this building where you can't see them. Even my office has a window in it, and you can look through there and see what's going on. It's just the day and age which we live in, and we want to do our very best to protect ourselves. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 6, and time is getting away from us, and I don't want to go long tonight at all. So we're going to be brief, and we're again a series of messages on the attitude of the heart. And tonight is the attitude of greed, the attitude of greed. And so we'll be simple tonight and be brief. And looking forward to getting everything out of the auditorium tonight. I'm excited about it. I don't know about you, but I am. And getting ready for them to come in here tomorrow. Tomorrow they'll literally come in and rip this mezzanine off. And a lot of it anyway, at least the sheetrock, where they can get in and put the steel in. And he's assured me, hopefully, Lord willing, by Wednesday night, that it'll be safe for us to meet in here. He'll have temporary walls up and things. But if something was to happen, we'll get the word out. And there could be a slight possibility we don't meet here Wednesday night, that we don't meet at all on Wednesday night. And I don't want that to happen. And I know Brother Dan Whiffen doesn't want that to happen. But again, a little inconvenience now, a lot of reward later. And it's going to be terrific. So appreciate all those who came in work clothes, ready to get to work, put stuff up. And it looks like the rain may cooperate with us. And so looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing it demolished. I'm just doing a... Can I take a hammer and get stuff? I got to demolish things down at Brother Stone's. That was a lot of fun. All right. Got to use a sledgehammer. Anytime a man gets to use a sledgehammer, he has arrived. He has arrived. Luke chapter 6. Again, I say this too much, but a familiar passage to most of us. And I do want to get in the habit of going to verses that maybe we're all familiar with, but there's some in this room who are not. And so we certainly want to look at these. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. One of the best messages I've ever heard on this was Brother House years ago. And it absolutely deals with friendship. It deals with a lot of different subjects. But application is about money. And so we want to take that tonight and just remember that we need to be a selfless people when it comes to material things. Greed is the excessive or inordinate desire for the acquisition of things. Put it simply, it's the hunger for things. It's the hunger for material things. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And that would go for male, female. As we think in our heart, so are we. The thoughts that race through our minds eventually become the standard of our behavior. What we think will come out in our behavior at some point. It's just a matter of time. Given, it shall be given unto you. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love, and we ask tonight as we cover this most important subject that you would allow us to Number one, understand. But number two, apply. Lord, help us to apply this to our life. We ask this in Your name. Amen. Our minds are temporal. Our minds, as greedy, those who are hunger for the material things, their minds are thinking upon temporal things a lot. Things that have no eternal value, only thinking of things that have earthly value. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And so many people have their minds and their thoughts on things here. The better home, the better car, the whatever it is. And again, we understand that the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. It's not wrong to have things. It's wrong for things to have you. It's wrong for us to have our thoughts continue on the accumulation of things and the hunger of things. We understand that this world will pass away. The things of this world will pass away. This world system will pass away. Gold, silver, all these things, precious stone, all these things will pass away. But virtue, truth, faith, hope, honesty, all these things that we invest in will last forever. One day we'll give an account for our lives, won't we? We'll stand before that judgment seat of Christ as Christians and give an account. And those things which we've done, which honor and glorify God, we'll receive reward for. So those things, are virtue, honesty, those things do last forever. Their value lasts forever. What does it mean, or what does greed do to a person? Greed turns person's thoughts towards him or herself. It's those whom you meet who are me first people. What will you give me? What's in it for me? What will it profit me? Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. That sums up most of the world today. But can I tell you who he was speaking to? He was speaking to Christians at Philippi. For all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Boy, let that never be said of us. Let that never be said of us. I'm not seeking my own things. I'm not seeking my own will and my own desires, but I'm certainly looking out for the needs and the things of others. Paul had a desire to help the church of Philippi and do those things, but he found a lot of selfish people there. You'll never find happiness in life if your favorite charity is you. That's a Dr. Barber quote. When self is master, everyone else becomes a slave. Me first people are ugly on the inside. Jealous, self-centered, self-serving. It's all about self. Greed. If you had one person in the Bible to depict greed, who would it be? Judas? Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Think about that for a moment. The price of a slave. Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Some of y'all taught that in Sunday school. It's been a while since we preached on it. You know, saw someone else give something there at the church and said, oh, well, they got all the attention. We want the attention too. Let's give the church something so we'll get people, you know, talking about us. And well, they did, but yet they held back the price of the land. And what happened? They suffered for it, didn't they? In fact, they suffered the ultimate punishment. They suffered the ultimate punishment because of their greed. Because of their greed. Because of their selfishness. Greed tightens a person's fist and ties a knot in his pocketbook. I like that one. But giving is joy. Giving is joy. Love, energy, time, money, talents. Selfishness robs people of the joy of giving. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Given it shall be given unto you. I don't know about you, but I enjoy Christmas. I enjoy, you know, the emphasis upon Christ, but I also enjoy the gift giving. And as parents now, as adults, we have, you know, you do know and we understand that it is a greater joy to give than it is to receive. Right? It is, absolutely. I enjoy giving to my kids. I enjoy giving to others around me. I just love it. And it brings joy to your heart, doesn't it? By the way, that applies every day of our life. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And when we are me people, when we are greedy, and we're just about the accumulation of things, it robs us of our joy. The joy of giving. There are twofold blessings in giving, and that is twofold blessing of giving and getting. We think about that for a moment, that we give to get, give to get to give. It's all right to get, as long as you get to give. Johnny Flanagan song. Why do those songs stick in your head? Anyway. When the Holy Spirit lives in our heart, greediness should go out. The two cannot comply with each other. Get. You've heard the saying, get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid. It's called get-itis. When you got get-itis, it's a terrible disease you get. God does not intend for your life to be a reservoir, but a channel. God never wants us to store up, but pass on. We think of the good illustration as the Dead Sea. As the River Jordan flows into the Dead Sea and there's no outlet, everything in the Dead Sea dies. And that's the same thing with us. As we gather in things and material things and we're not channeling it out, it will dry up our hearts. We'll lose our joy. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Don't get-itis. Amen? No matter your age, you've got to be careful. I mean, I believe as we get older, we get wiser in the area of finances because we've experienced a few things. But let's be careful as we get older that we don't become selfish as well. I know I've told many examples of my family growing up, but my papa, though he was a man who watched his finances, and as far as I know, I don't remember him borrowing any money. But I'll never forget, we went to a small church in Nakona to pastor, and I've told you this before, we were up on the farm one time, and he was, I mean, he kept a hold of his money, he watched it. And he was selling a welder, one of these portable welders. And I was up there and just taking the church, small church in Nakona that couldn't support me. And I'll never forget my pawpaw. The guy wrote him a check. And then my pawpaw turned around and gave the check to me. It's kind of unusual for my pawpaw now. Again, he was careful with his finances. Handed me that check and he had made that man write the check out to me. Now, I know Papa, you know, grandparents do that, but for my Papa, that was a big deal. It was a pretty good, large sum of money. Especially when our finances ran 30 cents a week, you know, like you get down to the end of the checkbook and it's 31 cents. You got to remember now, we were 20 years old at that time. And, you know, every week it was 29 cents. All our checks, when you look through the deal, all our checks were written to the Dairy Queen, you know. tithe check, Dairy Queen. It's the only thing in town to eat in Nakona. But I just, to me, you know, for my papa to do that, again, as he, just understanding the principle that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And my papa received the blessing from it. In fact, he ended up supporting us monthly, sent us a check every month to help us in that early ministry. What a blessing it was. We need to be careful never to get-itis. When you learn to give, God will have men just dump the returns in your lap. I believe that. You give, it will return. Now, not like the Pentecostal preacher on TV. You know, you give 100, God will give you 1,000. That's a lie. That's a lie. But God will bless you. And I'm thankful at the early age my dad taught us to tithe. And I've tithed since I can't remember when I didn't tithe. And give above that as well. And God has always supplied our needs. I do want to encourage you, if you have financial burdens and financial, you really need to get control of those. And I'd encourage you to go to Financial Peace University. It'll start up here in a couple of weeks on Wednesday night. And me and my wife enjoyed going through that. The staff went through it. And I've enjoyed the last 3 or 4 months just getting myself. And I thank the Lord in 20 years, I've never, again, it's all the Lord praise. I've never missed a payment on anything in 20 years. I've never, not even once. And God's been good to us. But it's all about I believe absolutely God has blessed my life and blessed my finances because when prompted, I give. Amen. Above my tithe, I'm saying, I give. When the mission conference comes on, I pray about what God would have me to give. When it's time to give the building fund, I pray about what God would have me to give. And I want to always be in a position where God can prompt me and He can tell me what He wants me to give and I give it. When missionaries come through here or whatever the case is, having that opportunity to give. And with our children as well. I'm getting to the position now of helping my kids, with cars and now with college coming up and all these things. I want to be in a position to be a blessing to my children financially. Amen. When you shut up your outflow, your intake becomes your downfall, and you drown yourself in the cesspool of self-centeredness. Be careful. There's another quote on that one, but we'll go on. Greed twists a person's perspective out of balance. When you're only interested in you, your priorities, you get thrown off track. Your priorities are no longer in order. If any man will come after me, the Bible says, Jesus said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I've used this poem before. It's a Dr. Barber poem. I know I'm quoting Dr. Barber, but he's good. Here's a poem Dr. Barber has quoted several times. It says, I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. 'Twas very small, 3 guests in all, I, myself, and me. Myself ate all the sandwiches while I drank all the tea. 'Twas also I who ate the pie and passed the cake to me. I love that one. Greed, selfishness, puts envy in our hearts and in our soul. We've already covered envy. I want to be Christ-like. I want others to see Christ in me. I want to understand tonight and make very clear, the Bible makes it very clear, that selfishness, greed, is a sin. To just simply desire and hunger for material things is a sin. Set your affection on things above, not on things here on the earth. Amen? We need to be careful. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to go to the Lord with our greed and say, Lord, I've been greedy. Lord, forgive me. He'll forgive you and get you back on the right path. We understand that we must invest in eternal things. Make a life, I love this quote too. The making of a life is far more important than making a living. We need to invest in eternal things. This world system will pass away. Listen, no devil will get you caught up in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's it. Fun, fortune, and fame, all will pass away. But the investments you make in eternity will never pass away. The giving to God's work will never pass away. The giving to a missionary. We kind of laughed about it the other when Russell went off to Bible college at Heartland last week. Talked about investing in him. As our intern this last summer, we paid for his first semester in college. And he worked hard for that, by the way. That wasn't given to him. But we also are giving things to him as well and trying to be a blessing to him. We're investing in Russell up front. Everything he does from here on out is fruit to our account. I mean, I know we've invested to him. Many of you taught him in Sunday school when he was a toddler all the way up through. But I'm talking about investing in young people, investing in missionaries. Those things will remain. Those things will remain. We must remember to invest in family. To invest in a Sunday school class teacher is an eternal investment. Care group leader, to invest in people. That's why I like this morning. I try to remember when a family joins to have people raise their hand. Who visited this family? And I think it's great to look around the auditorium and say, hey, 4 families visited this family before they joined. What an investment to make. Investment in people. Investment in winning souls. Soul winning. Missionaries. Witnessing for Jesus. Master's Club. Whatever area you're involved in. All those things will outlast you and will outlast this life. God will not be nearly as interested in where you came from as He will in how many you brought with you. When you get to heaven, it's not going to be, well, how big was your house? What did you drive? Now, he may ask whether you drove a Chevy or not. I don't know, but we're going to find out when we get there. No, we know that's not the case. It won't be whether you drove a Dodge or a Cadillac or a Buick or a Ford. It won't be whether you had two cars, three cars, four cars. It won't be whether you had a boat or not, a motorcycle. It won't be whether or not you had the latest gadgets. In other words, it's not going to be about who spent the most money. But it will be about who invested the most in eternal things. We'll give an account. Don't get-itis. It's a terrible disease. Be giving. And if you are giving with the right motives, it'll come back to you. Notice the way I said that. If you're giving to be seen like Ananias and Sapphira, oh yeah, it'll come back to you, but not in a positive way. But you give not to be seen. If you give selflessly in your motivation, if you give investing in eternity, investing in missionaries, investing in young preachers, investing in your Sunday school class, investing in whatever it may be, those things that last forever, God will bring that back to you. May not be in the form of money. It may be in the form of children that obey and you're proud of. May not be in money. It may be in, and I remember Dad saying this, maybe in less medical bills. You don't know. But God will bless you. And I can say He's been faithful to me. He's been faithful to me. Supplied every need I've ever had. It's amazing. By the way, I'm thankful that not only did He supply my need, but He gave me the desires of my heart. I don't have time tonight, but my house I live in now, that to me is a miracle, the way that happened. God gave me not just what I wanted, but the desire of my heart. And used somebody else to do it. God will do the same for you.